are back with you guys for episode 70 of the Clappercast. I'm Burke, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Sean. Sean, what's going on today?
Well, you know, my typing fingers here are feeling a little bit tired. Figure it's time to plug our season preview series that we're going to be posting on our blog here, probably starting December 1st. Hopefully the season will start January 1st, and then we'll get every team in. We'll be posting a blog post a day for previewing each team in the lead up to the season.
Shameless plug for our own content. Can't beat that. we're back to round out the season or off season rankings that we started. And last couple episodes we did the Western Conference, and so naturally we've moved on to the Eastern Conference, and for once they're last. And we thought we'd start off with the Atlantic. So I guess let's dive straight into it, Sean. First up, we have the Boston Meth Bears, or as they're previously known, the Boston Bruins. I gave them a B-, and I mean, I see that they kind of kept their core there. I mean, they did lose Krug. They might lose Chara. But they still have a pretty good team, and I don't really know how much they had to do this offseason, but you know, they were able to keep or re-sign guys like Kevin Miller, Matt Grzelcyk, Carson Kuhlman. They were able to sign free agent Craig Smith, Greg McKeag, so great name there. And they also lost Nordstrom, Richie, so that Heinen trade looks kind of garbo, as we kind of said.
Did they lose Nick Richie or Brett Richie?
I don't know. Does it really matter? There's two Richies on that team?
Yeah, there was. Nick Richie is still on their cap-friendly roster. I think it was Brett Richie that they lost.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess they lost one Richie, so that's two Richies is not as good as one Danton Heinen. So, I mean, whatever, my bad. But they did lose Krug, and I talked about how Krug, I liked him. But Matt Grzelcyk, they signed him for a four-year contract. He'll probably play with McAvoy now. They played together as, Boston College or Boston University. I'm not going to get torn apart for not knowing which one is the Terriers, but they were teammates back in college. Grzelcyk has looked good on that second power play, so with Krug going out, he might get, you know, an opportunity to play on the first power play. I don't know, maybe McAvoy will. I thought they had a not too bad of an off season, so B-. That might be a little bit generous, but what did you say for them?
I was kind of stuck between a C- and a C, because I think that loss of Torrey Krug and it seems likely Zdeno Chara, that's going to be an absolute game changer on their defense, that they're going to have to really find a completely new identity. Because that's, you know, Zdeno Chara has been their captain for 14 years. Krug's been there developing for 6 or 7 or something. And now, looking at who they have on defense, it's really like they have to find someone who's going to take over that decor. They're going to have to find people to replace Torrey Krug's 40 points a year. They're going to have to find Chara's defense. They're going to be looking a lot at Charlie McAvoy to replace a lot of that. And, you know, he's 22, 23, so he's just kind of starting to hit his you know, upswing, his good years. But I don't know if they're going to be able to maintain exactly where they were last year, especially as the rest of the core starts to get older too. Like Bergeron, Krejci, and Rask are all hitting their mid-30s, and Marchand's in his early 30s, I think, so they're going to probably start going down a bit. I think they're kind of hitting a point where their cup window is closing, their window of success is kind of closing a bit, and especially because they don't have a whole lot in prospects coming up. They're going to start to see a little bit of a downswing in performance. It might not be next year, considering they just won the President's Trophy last year, but starting to see, you might want to have a little bit more emphasis put on finding, you know, consistent or reliable prospects, or starting to find players to replace that. And you've got Andre Kasha, who's inconsistent. They got him at the trade deadline. They got Nick Richie at the trade deadline, who's under regular discipline troubles with the NHL. And those probably aren't the guys to rely on to help, you know, replace players on their way out. The addition of Craig Smith will be good for them, like you mentioned him. I think he's a solid depth scoring forward. They also just re-signed Jake DeBrusk earlier today, and that'll be
okay.
That's a good one for them to keep around. He's a good good middle line forward, but I think they probably could have tried to do a little bit more in terms of youth and finding a way to replace some of that loss on defense, because they're not looking as strong on paper right now as they have been in the past.
Yeah, I mean, I see that they've kind of, Char's been there for a long time, but let's not forget that Patrice Bergeron is there, and he would be a captain on any other team, and so
yep.
I think the leadership will still be there, but you're totally right that, you know, that's not a big physical and just, I guess, mental gap to fill with Chara leaving, but it'll definitely open up some opportunity for guys that have been waiting, like guys like Brandon Carlo, who looks really good. I mean, outside of like McAvoy, Grizzlick, and Carlo, I think, yeah, they're definitely looking a little shaky, but they re-signed Kevin Miller, and if he can stay healthy, he'll add a solid, stable D-man, but he's had some health issues in the past, and so we'll see if he's able to
stay in the lineup. Yeah, he just missed the entirety of the 2019-20 season, so this is like his first time playing, and what's he going to end up being, like a year and a half, I think.
Yeah, but you know, he was an absolute, I mean, his nickname was Killer when he was in the lineup, and so we'll see if he plays that same aggressive style, or if he kind of tones it down and plays a bit more of just a solid D-man. That's all we need from you. We don't need, like, you to go out there and kill everybody. Just, you know, play basic hockey. But, yeah, I mean, they're definitely on the downswing from where they were, but, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they end up getting another President's Trophy, because it's the Bruins, and they're built to win, and they've got a solid core. They've got one of the leading scorers in the NHL, Pasternak. They've got Brad Marchand, who's an excellent player. Patrice Bergeron just keeps getting better and better. And then they've got Tuukka Rask and Jaro Halak in net. And so if their defense is a little bit shaky, they've got a really great tandem in net. So,
Yeah, they might see that they're lucky they have Rask and Halak in net, because the Wiz might be able to bail them out while the defense finds their new identity.
Yeah, absolutely. I gave him a B minus because, like, yeah, I think they could have maybe done something better on the blue line, but I'm confident enough in guys like Matt Grizzlick to take this opportunity and to do better, because he's looked really good, and Krug's kind of just had that number one spot on, like, the power play for a while, and so having a guy like him come in might be good. Okay, well, that jersey, I actually kind of like it. The gold, I don't mind it. I like the kind of bear. I was kind of hoping that they would do like the Winnie the Pooh bear in like a black or something, just so that it would be kind of reverse. But
it's fun to make fun of that meth bear logo, but the jersey itself is actually nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, that's the jersey that Happy Gilmore wears, I think, isn't it? I'm pretty sure it's like the exact one with the weird bear on the side. Anyway, whatever. We'll move on to the Buffalo Sabres. And I'll pass it to you as the person who knows more about Taylor Hall than me to go first.
Yeah, so I gave Buffalo a B-plus for this offseason. That they bring in, you know, the biggest forward name in the free agent pool, Taylor Hall. They've now got this duo where they're going to be able to put, like, Eichel with Taylor Hall with Sam Reinhardt or Jeff Skinner or Victor Olofsson. Like, they're going to have an absolutely potent top six and offensively. They trade out Marcus Johansson, but they bring in Eric Staal for leadership. And Staal's having a bit of a late career resurgence here, where he's actually, last couple of years, he's been decent offensively with Minnesota. And, you know, this is a guy who's got a cup win with Carolina back in 05-06. And he's going to be an excellent leadership and veteran presence for these younger players, just to help with that locker room, just to help kind of be a liaison between coaching the players, pardon me. And he's going to be an excellent, probably second line center for them. He's going to get a chance to play with some of the younger guys, like Dylan Cousins is probably going to be on this team this year. He's probably good enough to make it, and they're going to want to play him with Eric Staal to teach him kind of the NHL center position. And I mean, one of the worst parts of the Sabres roster last year was their penalty kill, second last in the league. And they bring in Cody Eakin and Tobias Reeder to help with that. So those guys are going to be good, even strength, but they're going to be especially relied on as penalty killers to help, you know, just mitigate some goals. Because, you know, looking at the save percentage of the goalies being in the mid-800s on the penalty kill, looking at, you know, 74 point something percent PK. That's a place where they bled a lot of goals and a place where they needed to improve. But one kind of downside of their offseason was that so many goalies were available, so many starting goalies were available, and they're sticking with Linus Ullmark and Carter Hutton. Ullmark's never played more than 37 games in a season. He's done well. He was actually top 10 in the NHL in even strength save percentage last year, which is a positive sign for him to be able to take on the workload. But you want someone, when you're bringing in players to win now, you're going to want someone to actually be able to guide that team in net. And, you know, Carter Hutton's struggled big time in Buffalo. Linus Ullmark's unproven. Is that the best tandem to go with? I would say no, but maybe the GM in Buffalo knows a little bit more about Ullmark than I do.
Maybe. I don't know.
He might. I hope he does. I really hope he does.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like they're kind of like taking a lot of low-risk signings or re-signings this year. I mean, Taylor Hall for 1 year. They re-signed Sam Reinhart for 1 year. Re-signed Ullmark for 1 year. Montour for 1 year. Olofsson for 2 years, which he's like a longer-term guy for them. Cody Eakin for 2 years. Matt Irwin 1 year. Gergensen's 3 year. Another just depth, you know, solid guy in the lineup. And then they lost Mojo, Jimmy Vesey, Cahoon, Frolik. They gave a fourth up for him to Calgary at the deadline for some reason, or right before the deadline, actually, in January. So yeah, I give them a B+ as well. That's brought up by signing the big name on the market, Taylor Hall. But yeah, I'm totally with you that the goaltending is pretty shaky. I mean, we'll see how it turns out for them, but that seems like a definite weak spot, considering everything else in their lineup.
And looking to, because Buffalo is going to be competing most closely with, you know, I mean, I'm assuming the division is still the Atlantic. I don't know what their alignment's going to be like, but, you know, if it's still the Atlantic, they're going to be competing really closely with Montreal and Florida, who have Carey Price and Sergei Bobrovsky. If it's, you know, if they kind of do more of a regional thing, then they're going to, you know, be focused more maybe on Boston's Rask and Halak and, you know, whatever, and like the Islanders. But, you know, comparatively with the teams that they're going to be playing against, that's a big, you know, warning sign on their roster.
Yeah, I'm not confident that this team's going to be a playoff team. I'm guessing that they'll get off to a hot start like they have for the last couple of years, and then just kind of after that fade back into the middle of the pack. So we'll see. We'll move on to the Detroit Red Wings. So I guess I shall start. I like what Detroit's doing a lot. I gave them an A-. At the draft, they got more picks. They've got 3 seconds next year. They acquired Mark Stahl for future considerations and also picked up a second in that.
That's my favorite player.
Because that was a cap dump. yeah, I mean, he's all over the place, plays for every team.
It's Mike Sillinger.
They picked up a second for that, so that's pretty awesome for them. Just a cap dump for the Rangers to make space. They are ultimately the winners of the Mike Green and Athanasiou trades to the Oilers. Picked up, this is before, this is not in the offseason, obviously, but I just wanted to reiterate the Iser plan. So they got a 2020 second, 2021 second, and Sam Gagne in the Athanasiou. And they got a 2024 for Mike Green, as well as Kyle Brodziak.
You just want to make this hurt again. You just want to reopen these old wounds for me here.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. What are friends for if not, you know, rubbing salt in the wound? And so that was a good deadline for them. Just, you know, picking up some stuff from and doing it with the old GM. Why not? And then in the offseason, you know, they picked up Bobby Ryan, who was bought out, Namestnikov, Troy Stetcher, John Merrill, Grice, the extended Fabry. So, you know, and all of those deals are pretty reasonable deals that I think they could easily flip at the deadline. And then they also More notably, they waived Abdelkader. Jonathan Erickson comes off the books. Trevor Daley retired. Johan Franzen comes off the books. Jimmy Howard's gone. Madison Bowie's gone. They're able to keep Bertuzzi. It did go to arbitration. They only signed him for 1 year, so that's kind of a shitty thing. But they're able to sign Mantha for 4 years. And so I think ultimately they've done a really good job of navigating the offseason and to be able to just continue on the path of acquiring picks and, you know, keeping your core guys and bringing in some talent that you can flip. And I think they did a good job. I mean, I thought they maybe could have got some more guys cheap. There's still some other guys out there, but they got to develop their own players, and I think they're doing a good job. So what did you give them?
I settled on a B+ for Detroit. That I fully agree with you that they're well on the right track with the Eiser plan right now. That they're in a position where they probably don't want to bring in like big name free agents right now. And what they're really just trying to do is, like you said, acquire draft picks, acquire prospects, and find a way to develop them. They already have 12 draft picks and what is it? Oh, they had 12 draft picks and they have 9 in the next one in 2021 already. So that's, you know, they're really just stacking the prospect pool right now and finding, you know, throwing a bunch of shit at the wall and seeing what sticks, basically, down there. And like you said, they're bringing in a whole bunch of depth players, a whole bunch of guys just to fill roster spots. But what they're really doing is finding cheap players to come in and be like redemption projects or just those types of players you bring in, then they do really well, then you trade them at the deadline for more draft picks. So look for that 9 draft picks in the next draft to turn into another 11 or 12. So that's, considering where they are in their rebuild, I think they had a really successful offseason. They're not expected to be competitive for a while yet, so there's no point in bringing in big names to, you know, weirdly skip over steps like some other teams try to and advance to the next stage too early. But they're looking good in their rebuild, so B+ for them.
Yeah, I think the only thing that they could have maybe done a bit more of was to utilize the cap space that they have and to just leverage that. And, you know, maybe they can do that in the season, just acquire some bad contracts from some teams and just acquire more picks or prospects. I think they do keep doing that. I'm sure Heiserman is making those phone calls. You know, we saw him do that before. So I think as long as they keep doing that, they're on the right path. So we'll move on to a team that's kind of in a different situation in the Florida Panthers. What did you give them?
Florida gets a B- for me. I think one of their key things is that they got rid of Mike Matheson and they bring in Radko Gudas and Marcus Nudavara to replace him. Those are both going to be solid defensemen. I think Nudavara is going to be an excellent piece and they're probably second pairing, maybe even get some time up with Ekblad, see how it goes. But you know, Matheson wasn't great. They immediately improve on defense with that. They also bring in Patrick Hornquist on forward. He's going to be a good presence, a good veteran presence to kind of help a team that's, they're kind of like on the cusp where they should be a playoff team, but they need something just to push them over the top. You know, Hornquist leadership, he's got a ton of experience in the playoffs and with, you know, long playoff runs. And he's going to be a good presence to have in the offensive zone. He's going to help score a couple extra goals here and there. Then, you know, they bring in Alexander Wenberg for cheap. And I talked about him back when we were talking about buyouts, that if he gets in the right situation, maybe a new coach, new system will help him rebound. And he's kind of had a couple difficult years over in Columbus. And maybe a new situation will help him break out a bit offensively. So Florida's just trying to find little pieces to tinker with to find whatever works to get them over the top. I think ultimately their biggest downfall was goaltending last season, where Sergei Bobrovsky was just not as good as he needed to be, and that's what held them back big time. And you know, what can you do but wait and see if he rebounds the next season, other than what they did and just find little tweaks to make here and there.
I ultimately gave them a C+, because I thought they brought in some good players. Nudavara, Hornquist, they re-signed Uyghur, signed Hinostroza, good depth player, and Alexander Wenberg, you know, that was kind of your pick as the guy who could break out in a, you know, a new place as a buyout. But they also lost Evgeny Dadonov and are looking like they're going to lose Mike Hoffman. And so that's two of your top six, and I am just nervous about this team if they can replace that with anybody. I know, like, Owen Tippett might probably, like, might get some time to play. But I don't know. It just looks like outside of Huberdeau and Barkov, I don't know, like, who else is going to play in that top six? I mean, Brett Connolly played some top six time in Washington.
That's a lot of scoring to try and replace.
Yeah, and that's been a line for a while. I mean, I don't watch a lot of Panthers games. I try to watch some when I can, but I don't have the advanced stats at hand, but I thought that they played a lot together, Dadonov, Huberdeau, and Barkov, and so that might not be the case. I mean, maybe Dadonov played more with Hoffman or something, but two of your top six gone with, you know, Patrick Hornqvist and Wennberg coming back in. I mean, maybe Wennberg will excel enough to be in that top six, but I mean, we haven't really seen that from him at this point. I mean, I see him more of like a middle six guy. Maybe he plays in that second line, but I thought that they should have went after maybe somebody else to replace some of that scoring talent, but I know that's kind of hard to do. So maybe they're not done yet. Maybe they're still going to sign Hoffman. I mean, who knows where he's going to be? It's pretty late in the game, so maybe they're really close and they've just been going back and forth a little bit here and there. And I don't know. It just seems like they could have done a bit more to cement their top six. And I think part of this is due to the fact that Bobrovsky is paid at such a high level that they have a little less breathing room to bring people in. And that's tough.
Yeah, you're right. Barkov, Dadonov, and Huberdeau are their most utilized forward line, by far.
Yeah, so they
played a lot.
Yeah. Outside of that, you've got Hornqvist, Connolly, Frank Vatrano, and Wennberg. I don't know.
Maybe Achari can score 9 goals in 3 games again or whatever.
Yeah. I see a lot of third line guys, but not a lot of, you know, that upper level talent. Especially because they got rid of Trocheck too, right?
Right,
so,
yeah.
That was their second line center. And so, and then Halla in that trade has walked as well. And so,
I
don't know.
I backtrack on Nuivaara and Ekblad getting time together. They're both right-handed D. That's not going to be likely a thing.
Yeah. I mean, their D looks pretty, their D looks okay. I think that's kind of one of the stronger parts of this team, which is funny to say when they've got Bobrovsky in net, but Bobrovsky did struggle last year, and that contract, it's tough.
That's a lot of years, and yeah.
So we'll see if Coach Q can, squeeze every ounce of winning out of this team next season and see what they can do. But yeah, I think you're right in that your point to Buffalo is that they're going to be competing against some really good teams, and so is Florida, and it's going to be tough for them to make it out into playoffs. Okay, well, we'll shift to a team that, again, is in a very different situation to the Montreal Canadiens. I gave Montreal an A, and I saw that look, Sean. Let me just address that right off the bat, because I'm thinking you were probably expecting an A+, and... I don't know if you were or not, but
no.
It's not an A+ because of the Josh Anderson deal. If he got a more reasonable contract, I would have given them an A+. But I also want to go back in time to pre-COVID for this one. Just to reiterate some of the moves that Marc Bergevin has done. So on January 2nd, he acquired Marco Scandella from the Sabres for a fourth. On February 18th, he traded Scandella to the Blues for a second and a conditional 2021 fourth, and that condition was met. And so they've got two picks out of that, and they got back their fourth and got a second. So that was amazing. February 23rd, they at the deadline, they flipped Kovalchuk to the Caps for a third in this year's draft. They flipped Nate Thompson to the Flyers for a fifth, Matthew Pekka to Ottawa for a seventh, Nick Cousins to Vegas for a fourth. And so they were really active at that deadline, and you look at the things that they gave up, it's ultimately not a lot. They signed a guy for basically free in Scandella. Same with Kovalchuk. He was bought out by LA. And so they didn't really give up anything, but they just amassed picks. And in the offseason, they've kind of done that again, where I thought they made good moves at the draft to get some more picks. And they've also flipped some of those picks that they've acquired for guys like Jake Allen. And so they're not really giving up any of their own picks. Like they gave a third that they acquired from Washington and a seventh from Chicago for Jake Allen. And they got a seventh back. So it was really give up that third that you got from Kovalchuk for Jake Allen, a backup goalie that'll serve you super well. I mean, we talked about that. We talked about the Blues. They signed Edmondson, or they traded for Edmondson for a fifth. Were able to re-sign him. And they also were able to sign Tyler Toffoli for $4.25 million for 4 years. Re-sign Gallagher. Extend Allen 2 years. Re-sign Victor Mete for cheap. And then the one kind of outlying thing for me is the Josh Anderson 6 years, $5.5 million. But moving past that, you know, you have guys like Dutch Gretzky, Dale Weiss leaving, Max Domi obviously leaving as well in that Josh Anderson trade, and Charles Hudon went to Europe. So I think they did really well. I think that Bergevin has just fleeced a lot of guys, and I think we've made this joke before, but he's so buff that he must just intimidate all other GMs.
He doesn't negotiate, he just threatens.
So yeah. I think that they've done very well. How about you?
You know, going through that and re-looking at my, you know, notes here, I'm actually moving up to a B for them. I had it lower just because I wasn't a fan of the Josh Anderson signing at all, and I also have a little bit of a nitpicky thing that they're paying a backup goalie $4.35 million when they already have Carey Price making $10.5 million. But ultimately, they have the cap room. Why not do it? You know, if it works for them under their cap, then it's not actually that big of a deal. It's, you know, yeah, it's a kind of a lot of money going to goalies, but yeah, it works.
I mean, if you look at that deal too, it does decrease in like the actual salary in the 2 years.
Yeah,
that
so
he's
his cap
hits
down to 2.875 in the 2 years following. So that's not as bad.
And so it makes it a little bit more attractive for, like, Seattle if they were going to pick him. And then you've got, like, Caden Primo who can come up. And so I don't know if that was the intention.
Probably.
Or if Seattle would even pick him. But it's bad the first year, but after that it does get better.
And, I mean, like I said, if it works in their cap, and it clearly does, they've got this roster and the other signings they made all fit under the cap, and, you know, why not? It's fine. The other signing, I don't remember if you mentioned him, was Jeff Petrie for 6.25.
Right.
I mean, he'd probably be a number one defenseman on most teams, or a top pairing at least, and he's making 6.25. That's going to be an excellent signing for them. He's going to be great. Great for their defensive depth. And, you know, I'm a huge fan of that bringing Tyler Toffoli in for the depth scoring. Their forward depth is among the best in the league. It doesn't have the high-end talent that a lot of the other teams do, but they have a lot of, like, middle-line forwards that are just excellent, where they've got one line that's, like, Tatar, Gallagher, and Deneau, right?
Yeah.
And then they're going to have, like, Drew Antofoli, Josh Anderson, you know, Paul Byron, Joel Armia, Kotkaniemi, Nick Suzuki. Like, these are all guys who are filling out their second and third lines. So that's going to be hard to compete against for a lot of teams, and that's kind of going to be where their roster shines, is in the depth domination.
One thing too is that the Athletic had a player poll, and one of the questions was who was the most improved team, and Montreal was the team that was submitted the most, and so the players too feel that Montreal has improved. And yeah, I mean, I did give them an A, so I feel like they have. they have really improved. I think Tyler Toffoli will bring some awesome scoring talent to them, and hopefully for the Habs, he fits in just like he did in Vancouver, because he looked really great for them. So yeah, I mean, that Petrie one is kind of weird though, because he is already what, like 32 or something.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot for an older D-man, but he is really good.
It is. Yeah, he's good, and he's been making 5.5 for a few years at least here. I can't remember how long his previous contract was, so he's been getting underpaid for probably a few seasons. So now he gets a little bit more, but it's still worth it because he looks like the type of guy who's going to play well into his mid-30s.
Yeah, and that trio of, I mean, Kevin Bieksa was like calling it the trident of Weber, Petrie, and Sherratt looked really good in playoffs.
Yep. Not to mention, too, they've also got Alexander Romanov, who's probably going to be making the roster more regularly this year. So that's going to be a great addition for them, too, if he can have a solid rookie year.
Yeah, and they added Joel Edmondson. So, I mean, they've got some solid defense. They just look like a solid team, like, overall. Like, they look... If you just look at their roster, and it's like, yeah, you were saying, like, they don't have that super high-end offensive talent, but they've got a lot of those... Like, they've basically got, like, 3 second lines, right?
Yeah.
And so they're super talented on top end. They've got some really good young players, Kotkaniemi, Suzuki. Suzuki looks... They both look amazing. And then great defense. And then they've got a good backup, and so Carey Price doesn't have to play every single game. And so they look really good.
You were also talking about how many draft picks they were acquiring through that process there. They have 14 draft picks for 2021. Like,
yeah, so it's not even like they were giving up the future for success right now, right? Like, they're poised in such a good position. Like, it's a great time to be a Habs fan.
Yeah.
So much to be excited about. Oh, wow, I'm surprised you gave him a B.
I thought
they did really well.
I was really factoring in.
You must
in
really not like that, Anderson.
I was really factoring in the cap stuff differently, but you brought in a lot of extra information. I'm like, okay, this actually, like, they actually did really well. I was just looking at the single, like, one-off moves and kind of, they're not managing their cap too well, but then looking at how they're actually doing it and hearing, you know, a little bit more info, it's like, okay, they're actually doing pretty well. So
sticking with the B?
Yep.
Okay. All right. I admire that. We'll move on to another Canadian team then. The Ottawa Senators, skating team. So, what did you give the Ottawa Senators? Because I would like to know your rating before I give mine.
Pressure's on. With Ottawa, I gave them a C+. I see what they did as kind of very just average. They kind of seem to follow like a very low-key, similar to Detroit strategy, where they're just bringing a bunch of depth guys to fill roster spots, and then they'll trade them away or figure it out later. I do like bringing in of Evgeny Dadonov. He's going to be, you know, some excellent offensive talent to go alongside Brady Tkachuk. They're really just focusing on getting prospects in. You know, they had Tim Stutzel and Jake Sanderson. I think it was Jake Sanderson in the draft. You know, the two top five picks right there. They're going to be just waiting for those types of players to develop. They're not expected to do a whole lot. I'm not a huge fan of the amount of money that Matt Murray just got on that contract, especially because he kind of had a bad year, and is he really going to bounce back in Ottawa of all places? But they're kind of following along their rebuild strategy just fine. So I think, you know, a slightly above average offseason is suitable for them.
Yeah, I give them a C-. Yeah, they brought in Murray. It's kind of a questionable deal. Good Branson. I'm not a fan of him, but he's a roster guy. He was super pumped to come back to Ottawa. I guess he's from that area. I like the addition of Dadonov. Connor Brown re-signing. They also traded for a guy named Josh Brown, so now they've got the Brown squad. They signed Alex Galchenyuk for 1 year, $1 million, so that's a pretty cheap kind of redemption kind of deal. They bought out Bobby Ryan, and they did not qualify Duclair.
There's something about the negotiation that wasn't working out. I don't know what it was. Like, we don't have any details, but, like,
I remember hearing something like they offered him more than the qualifying offer or something, but he didn't take it. I don't really know enough about contracts to know or understand how that works, but if they lose him, that's a really big loss, I think, for them, because there was a, like, what they're trying to do with Galchenyuk, they did it with Duclair, and it worked, and now he's going to leave, possibly, so that would really suck. They also lost Borokop, Borvietsky, and looks like Craig Anderson is gone as well. So this team is kind of unrecognizable at this point. It's a whole new team that skates.
because it's a whole new team, we don't know yet if they skate, so we have to make sure. We have to wait and see the first couple of games here.
We have to hear it straight from Dorian if they skate.
Yeah, we got to wait until the ice time starts.
So, yeah, I mean, the team's going to be unrecognizable. They're going to look completely different in terms of names and also in terms of their appearance, because they're going to have new jerseys. And so I think it's kind of like a nice metaphor that it's a kind of a brand new team.
I think the key difference between Ottawa and Detroit is that Detroit kind of made their team a little bit better with the guys they brought in, and Ottawa stayed about the same or downgraded.
Yeah, and the deals that they gave some of these guys I don't think are as movable or attractive. I mean, they've got term and they've got salary, so it's going to be harder to flip some of these guys, and at this point they've kind of gone through everybody on their team that they can move. So yeah, that's a good point, is that they're bringing some people in, but it looks like they're going to keep them rather than try and move them. And so I don't know what the move is here. Are they trying to compete, or are they trying to suck? I don't know. I don't think they're going to compete.
No, not even close.
And then, I mean, if they suck, they haven't expanded their number of picks. So
of the teams that they're closest competitors with, like, they're the one that didn't improve much at all. Like, all the other ones, especially like Buffalo and Montreal and even Florida to an extent, possibly, look like they're going to, you know, improve in certain areas. But Ottawa kind of really lateral moves.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll move on to the Tampa Bay Lightning. And just to prove that I'm not just a Ottawa Senators hater, because I actually do want the Senators to do good, and I like the Senators. I love the New Jersey. I also gave Tampa a C-. I thought that they had a pretty below average offseason, in my opinion. I think the most noticeable thing that they did was, or at least the guy that they kept, was Pat Maroon. They re-signed him. But they also lost Shattenkirk, Bogosian, bought out Tyler Johnson, and didn't qualify for Hagee. And so they're kind of in cap trouble. And that's kind of all I really found. So, I mean, maybe I'm missing something on Tampa, but it looks like they kind of had struggles, and they had rumors that they were trying to trade Johnson and they were trying to trade Killorn, and nobody wanted them. Yeah, they won the Cup, so that's obviously an A-plus postseason. But the offseason, I think, is not a resounding success. But the team, that doesn't mean the team isn't going to be amazing again. The team is still going to be great. It's just that they didn't improve, in my opinion.
Did Tyler Johnson actually get bought out?
He got waived.
Because he's still on Tampa Bay's cap-friendly page.
Maybe I had wrong information. Either way, if he got waived, that's a big pill to swallow if they can't move him.
Yeah, he's not on the buyout history either on cap-friendly. He just got waived, it looks like.
Yeah, I don't know. Even if he didn't get bought out, they might still have to, or they might have to make a shitty trade to get rid of them, because I just don't think they've had a really great off season, and it looks like it's not going to get better if they need to do something with his contract. So what did you give the Tampa?
So hear me out on this one. The team just won the Stanley Cup. Do they really need to do anything to the roster? You know, yet they lose Kevin Shattenkirk and Zach Bogosian.
Well, I mean, I did say that. I did say that they won the Cup and that the team is still going to be good. But in terms of off seasons, did they get better or did they get worse?
I see that. I ended up giving them an A just because they didn't need to do anything. They've got a Cup winning roster, so the best course of action, like, they don't need to be better. They just need to keep that same roster. They lose Shattenkirk and Bogosian, but I feel a team like Tampa can find it in their depth and their system to replace a lot of that. And, you know, if Tyler Johnson returns, I still don't know, you know, then they stay even more the same. But if he goes, then I'm sure, like, they've got a handful of prospects who can come up and bump someone else up the lineup. They've got a bunch of solid middle line forward guys to replace them.
But, okay, forward, yeah, sure. But defense, they've got Shattenkirk and Bogosian gone. So that means Coburn and Shen, and they still have to sign Sergachev and Cernak.
Oh, they do have to sign Sergachev.
So it's not looking good if they can't get some more money, because Sergachev is going to want some serious money. And if they can't sign him, most of the well-known D-men are off the market, so they'll have to get, like, I mean, Sammy Vatanen is still available. They wouldn't really need him, though, like, for what he brings. I don't know. It's just their defense looks a little iffy if they can't make those deals happen.
You know, I'll throw a caveat in there. If they can retain Sergachev and Chernak, then their team is basically the same. Then I say their offseason was fine because they don't need to do a whole lot to improve a roster that just won the cup. If they lose one or both of them, then they immediately downgrade to down where you're talking about, because that they don't have the cap space to replace it, and they don't have enough people to bring up from the AHL to fill all of those holes.
Maybe Stevie Y does them a solid.
Hey, maybe. Detroit's got the cap space.
Maybe he lets maybe he trades for Tyler Johnson and gets I don't know, like a second next year. Like if they can make a deal happen without giving up a first, like, that'll be a win for them. And that'll be a way better offseason. That would bump up my grade significantly. If they can get rid of Tyler Johnson, who wasn't bought out, because I'm an idiot and thought he was. If they can get rid of him without giving up a first and sign Sergachev, I'll say, yeah, they did. They had a good offseason. If they can't do that, it'll stay where I'm thinking, C-. So yeah, I mean, I totally take your point that they just won the cup. They're an amazing team. How much do they have to do? But if they lose Sergachev, I think that's
a
significant piece.
They still have a lot to do that we can't fully factor into this evaluation. Like, I mean, I'm looking too at their forwards, and they still have to sign Cirelli, it looks like. So they've got a lot of these players,
yeah,
that are,
I mean,
if any or all of them go because they can't re-sign them, then their offseason just tanks big time. But that's the big if.
Yeah. I mean, nobody really wants Tyler Johnson and 30 years old, $5 million for four more seasons. Nobody really wants Alex Killorn, 31, for 4.4 for three more seasons. There's rumors that they might have to trade Stamkos because they're so strapped. So, like, I think, yeah, they're in a bad way, and they haven't done anything significant yet except for let go of, you know, two middle pairing D men. Well, I guess Bogosian played with Hedman, so he was technically a top pairing D man. I mean, it's tough for them. But ultimately, at the end of the day, they did just win a cup. And so that's some people, that's all that matters, right? So, but I think if they can't re-sign Sergachev, it'll be really hard for them to go back-to-back with the D that they have. They'll still have one of the best defensemen in the league in Victor Hedman. But after that, it goes a bit downhill, because they've got McDonough, who's at like 6.7 for a few too many more years, and then that second pairing is looking a little shaky right now, so we'll see. Okay, well, we'll move on to just the absolute center of the universe here, Toronto Maple Leafs. So what did you give the Maple Leafs, Sean?
I actually really kind of like what the Maple Leafs did this offseason. I gave them an A. I think they addressed all of their key needs. You know, they struggle on defense, so they bring in TJ Brody. He's going to help in a lot of ways with them. they needed some depth forward, some grit, some leadership. They bring in Wayne Simmonds and Joe Thornton, who are just going to be great influences in that locker room, providing, you know, some sort of grit and some sort of depth to that roster. And the bonus point is that they didn't have to give up a fifth for Wayne Simmonds. And lastly, they even managed to hopefully fix their backup goalie position, bringing in Aaron Dell. He's been good in San Jose for a couple of years, and he's got a bit of a proven track record, so hopefully he'll be able to, you know, take some of the weight off of Freddie Anderson's shoulders, because Anderson's been struggling a bit, and they needed to improve on that backup position that it was just an absolute turnstile last season. So they had a good offseason. I gave them an A.
Yeah, I actually gave them an A+, because they did add top pairing defenseman Zach Bogosian. they added TJ Brody, and then they added Dell, and they also signed Hutchinson. And so I see those guys as kind of like their AHL guys, and Jack Campbell as their backup. I think we'll see if Jack Campbell gets that spot or Aaron Dell, but I think it's kind of Campbell's right now. But regardless of who gets it, they have actual goaltending depth, and that's something that they've been looking for so long. Like, they can't let Freddie Anderson play, you know, like 90% of the games. He's just worn out. I saw this with Braden Holtby with Washington when he was going for that record for most games started in a season and most wins and everything. He got burnt out, and then one time when playoffs came, it wasn't the same Holtby that was in the middle of the season. And so that's a great move for them. They were able to get a first round pick for Kasperi Kapanen, which is just, I have literally LMAO written next to that.
That sums that up, really.
And I mean, they had to cap dump Andreas Johnsson, and they lost Barry, which is okay. And they also lost Cody Ceci, which is a net positive. They lost Freddie Gauthier and Kyle Clifford. But yeah, I mean, the guys that you mentioned, they added a lot of great depth people up in the forward lineup. They were able to re-sign Mikheyev. They re-signed Dermott for super cheap. Bring in Jumbo, Simmonds. They also brought in like Jimmy Vesey. Evan Rodriguez came over in that Kapanen trade. So yeah, I think they just added a lot of guys and a lot of good pieces to support those top four forwards. And so I think they've done a good job this offseason. However, this is also a lot of guys coming into the team. And so this could be good if it works out, or it could be, you know, a lot of guys that don't buy in. They could be, you know, they're not good culture fits for the team. Maybe they don't want to play the way that the team wants to play.
Well, not to mention even just building the chemistry as well.
Yeah, exactly. So the on ice could be bad, and the locker room could be bad as well. And so we'll see how that goes. You know, maybe the way that Jumbo and Simmonds want to, you know, be locker room guys is different than the way that, you know, Matthews, Marner, Tavares want to do things. So we'll see how that plays out. I'm sure that'll be everywhere once the season starts. You know, Jumbo Joe said he didn't like Mitch Marner's fit this afternoon. He, you know, it'll be all over the place. But I thought that they did a really good job, and I actually gave them an A+. Just because, like you said, they addressed kind of every need that they had. They got better on forward, I thought. They got better on defense, and they also got better in goaltending. And so just a win all around. So any other comments you want to make about the Atlantic Division, or any spicy prediction on what would happen if they were all actually in a division together?
This would be a very fun division to watch that race for the top three playoff spots next season, when you have Montreal, who's basically put themselves in that discussion with Boston, Tampa, and Toronto. And, you know, Florida could bounce back. Buffalo could be like a wild card if they happen to get hot at the right time. Could be a really, really competitive division.
Yeah, and we'll see if they actually are a division, or if there's an all-Canadian division.
Yeah, they might have to realign geographically.
I think Montreal and Toronto games, because they'll probably happen no matter what, are going to be insane this season.
Yeah, that's
really fun to watch.
That's going
to
be a, a big time rekindled rivalry. Now that both teams are going to be very competitive and very talented teams.
It's going to be a fun rivalry.
So I think that wraps things up for this time here on ClapperCast. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to our show on any podcast platform and spread around the good word of ClapperCast. To keep up to date with the latest content, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at ClapperCast Media or on Twitter at ClapperCast. And from there, you can tell us how far off we are on our off-season grades. We'll be back next time with more hockey talk.